Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazrat Wahab bin Munabbar rahmatullah alayhi says, there was a king who intended to visit and inspect the condition of the land of his kingdom. He ordered the royal dress which was brought for him, but he disliked it. A second one was brought which he did not like either. In short, after many refusals, he wore a very fine dress. He then ordered a conveyance. An excellent horse was presented which he disliked. This horse was returned. A second and third horse were ordered, all of which he disliked. Then all the horses were brought forward. Amongst them he chose the finest horse and mounted it. At this time Shaitan the accursed blew even more pride into the king. He mounted the horse with a lot of pride. A train of servants and soldiers walked with him, but out of pride and haughtiness he did not even look at them. En route, a very distressed person, clad in old rags, met him. He greeted the king. The king paid no attention towards him. The distressed person caught the reins of the horse, whereupon the king reprimanded him, "Leave the reins. How dare you catch hold of my horse's reins?" The person said, "But I have work with you." The king replied, "If that is the case, then have patience. When I dismount, you can mention the work to me." The person insisted, "No, I have to mention it now." Saying this, he forcefully grabbed the reins. The king said, "Mention what you have to say." The man replied, "No, it is a secret. I will say it in your ear." The king lowered his ear. The man said, "I am Malakul Maut. I have come to take your life." Hearing this, the king's face turned pale. His tongue began to stutter. The king said, "Give me some time to go home to arrange my goods and to meet my family." The angel of death replied, "There is no respite. Now you will never see your house nor your wealth." After saying this, the angel of death pulled out his soul and he fell down from his horse like a dry piece of wood. So this is one of the great attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that of being mumit. Allah is muhi also, he is mumit as well. Allah Ta'ala takes life and He gives life. In taking life, Allah Ta'ala utilizes the medium of Malakul Maut, the angel of death. But the command comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So in reality, Allah Ta'ala is a being that is giving death to the person. In fact, on the 15th of Shaban, Shab-e Barat, Allah Ta'ala gives a list to Malakul Maut of all those people whose souls have to be extracted during the forthcoming year. So the command is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without the will and the permission of Allah, Malakul Maut cannot extract any person's soul. So nevertheless, this is a special work, unique attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gives life and He takes life. He gives existence, He terminates the existence. He gives death, He gives life. He is muhyi, He is mumit. Just as Allah Ta'ala's being itself is unique, incomparable, laysa kamithlihi shay, none is like Allah Ta'ala. Similarly, the work of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the system that operates in the universe by the Almighty, is also unique, incomparable, none can compare with it. So in this attribute as well, that of taking life, that of giving life, this is the sole attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was only a foolish person like Namrud that challenged Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam on this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The incident is mentioned in Surah Baqarah. Alam tara ila alladhi hajja Ibrahim fi rabbihi an ataahu Allahu al-mulk. Did you not see the person referring to Namrud who debated with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with regard to the Rabb of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the sustainer of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Why did he engage in this debate? An atahu Allah al-mulk. Allah Ta'ala gave Namrud a vast kingdom. So that made him arrogant, haughty. He told the people, he claimed divinity, claimed to be God, told his subjects to worship him. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam took on the challenge, debated with him. Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Namrud, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Namrud that it is my creator, my Rabb, that gives life and gives death. The haughtiness of Namrud, he replied, قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. That I also give life, I also give death. Indicating that he was also claiming to be Rabb. He also had this attribute, according to him, of giving life, taking life. And to prove that, the foolish man told his people to bring two prisoners from the cells. Two prisoners were brought. He gave instruction that one prisoner must be beheaded. And the other prisoner he set free. Let him go. So on this Namrud began to say that, look, I have also taken a life by executing the first man, and I've given life by setting the person, second person, free. This was a twisted way of understanding, of course. In Farsi, this is called khardimah, donkey brains. So that is what Namrud possessed, donkey brains. Because if we analyze this, you cannot call this as taking life, giving death, by having the person executed with a sword. Because first and foremost, the difference between Allah Ta'ala taking life, many a time Allah Ta'ala takes life without using any instrument whatsoever. No tool is used. A man is standing up, healthy, strong, all of a sudden he gets a heart attack, he drops dead. No instrument was used in killing the person. Namrud did not have that capability. Another difference, the sword that Namrud told his executor to use on the first prisoner, that sword only completed its function with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala willed it to cut, slit that person's throat. If Allah ta'ala had not wanted that person to die, no matter how many times the sword would have been used on the throat of that person, it would not have cut. Like in the case when Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed to slaughter his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, which set the tone for the sunnah of Qurbani, which we practice till today. When he laid his son Ismail alayhi salam down and used a knife on his throat, try as he might, Allah did not will that knife to cut, it would not cut his throat. Eventually Allah Ta'ala replaced Ismail alayhi salam with a ram from heaven, and that sunnah we carry out till today. So this is what you call giving death. That one should have control over that instrument. Namrud had no control. Namrud could have claimed divinity if he told his executioner to use the sword, and then in spite of using the sword, if the sword was in the control of Namrud, Namrud would will that sword not to cut, then we will say he had control over the sword. But when the executioner used the sword, it was out of the control of Namrud, was in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala willed the sword to do his function and to kill the person. So this Allah ta'ala killed that man, not Namrud or his executioner. As far as giving life is concerned, that was even more foolish. Even more he proved to have donkey brains. Because giving life means to bring something non-existent into existence. Here the second prisoner was already living, merely setting him free. That does not mean giving life to someone. So Namrud himself shot himself in the foot, figuratively, proved his stupidity. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam challenged him, that قال Ibrahim, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day in and day out, commands the sun to rise from the east and set in the west. Daily we see the sun setting, arising from the east. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, if you are God, then command the sun to rise from the west, not from the east. The Quran says, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. This kafir, Namrud, was rendered speechless. He had no answer for that. Obviously, he had no power over the sun to let the sun rise from the west instead of from the east. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thani Rahmatullahi, commenting on the tafsir of this verse, he makes a very interesting observation that it begs the question that why did Namrud then not tell Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, that tell your Rabb to let the sun rise from the west instead of the east? Namrud did not say this. Either this argument did not cross his mind, or perhaps it crossed his mind. But he knew that Ibrahim alayhi salam is on the haqq. If he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala made the sun rise the next day from the west, all the people that worship Namrud would have abandoned him. They would have realized that he is not God. Ibrahim alayhi salam's Rabb is a true God. So perhaps that is the reason, Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi says, why Namrud did not make this request of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that you tell your Rabb to make the sun rise from the west. Today, unfortunately, we are living in an era of fitna. In a hadith, Nabi Karim Sa'azim says, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُزْلِمِ يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that do good deeds before the onset of such fitnas, trials and tribulations that will shake your iman to the very core. That a person will wake up in the morning as a Muslim, he will go to sleep as a kafir. He will go to bed as a Muslim and rise in the morning as a kafir. And we see that happening. On this incident of Namrud, Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah Ta'ala protect our iman. A Muslim doctor, a surgeon, said to be a brilliant surgeon, but his brilliance did not come to the fore. We can say, yeah, too, he was khar dimag, using donkey brains, a surgeon. He made this preposterous claim that there is nothing such as malakul maut. He says, I give life and I give death. Imagine a person making a statement in this era, a Muslim surgeon. And then he explained that if I have a patient on life support, if I pull the plug out, I have killed the patient. If I leave the plug switched on, I am giving life to the patient. So he is not giving death or life. Allah Ta'ala gives that. So look at the statement. You don't need a genius to know what the state of that doctor's iman is. Supposedly a brilliant surgeon, one of the top surgeons of the country, yet he makes a statement of this nature, that there is no such thing as malakul maut. I give life, I take life. So this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, hasten with good deeds before you are faced with such challenges, fitnas, that will snatch your iman away. So you don't need a genius to tell you what the condition of this man's iman is, that he claims to take life and to give life. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So nevertheless, this is a unique attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhyi and Mumit, that Allah ta'ala gives life and Allah ta'ala takes life. Another unique attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as life and death is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hidayat, that is also in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala says, addressing his Nabi also, that إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot guide to the straight path and grant success to anyone at your will, whoever you wish. Allah is the being that gives hidayat. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes a person with regard to whom people lose all hope of that person gaining salvation, of being granted hidayat, yet Allah Ta'ala gives hidayat to him. Take an example. When Nabi Karim Sa'asim's uncle Abu Talib was on his deathbed, about to leave the world, Hazrat Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a lot of love for this uncle. This uncle used to protect him from the enemies, in spite of not having accepted Islam. So Nabi Karim Sallam went to his bedside when he heard that he was in the throes of death, to make a last ditch attempt to present the kalima to him, that prayer before he leaves the world, he dies with iman. So Nabi Karim Sallam said to him, قُلْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أُحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They say the kalima لا إله إلا الله. I will use it as a basis of my argument and my intercession to plead on your behalf that you read the kalima before you left the world, you should be granted salvation. But when the enemies of Islam, Abu Jahl and his friend Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah heard about this, they also rushed to the bedside of Abu Talib in order to deter him from reciting the kalima, to persuade him not to recite the kalima. So on one side, Nabi Sa'asim is telling his uncle, say the kalima. On the other side of the bed, Abu Jahl and Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, they are humiliating, ridiculing Abu Talib, branding him a coward that your entire life you led according to the way of your forefathers, of your father, your forefathers, idolatry. At this last moment, are you going to be so much of a coward that you will leave the religion of your forefathers? So Abu Talib wanted to please his nephew Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and recite the kalima, but because these people put him in a corner, iman was not meant for him. Instead of reciting the kalima, he said, Ala millati Abdul Muttalib, that I die on the way of my father and my forefathers, on shirk, on idolatry. So this grieved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a great deal. That year was known as Amul Huzna, the year of sadness, of grief, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lost this beloved uncle Abu Talib without him having accepted Iman. So on that occasion this verse was revealed. This verse was revealed that do not grieve. You cannot guide whomsoever you wish. True guidance is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. You can merely show them the road, give them instructions, how to come onto the true path. But to bring them to the finishing post and to make them mu'min, that is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even this giving hidayat is a unique attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And proof of this, these two gentlemen that rushed to the bedside of Abu Talib, Abu Jahl, and Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah. Hidayat was not meant for Abu Jahl. He died as a kafir, as a mushrik, on the battlefield of Badr. But Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, he will say, radiallahu ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala blessed him with iman. He was such a die-hard, hardcore mushrik, that he used to say, rejecting Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's claim that the Quran was the word of Allah, he used to say that even if I see a ladder descending from the heavens and a farishta angel coming down and giving personally the Quran, the book, in the hands of Allah, of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then also I will not believe. I will say that this Muhammad is a sorcerer, he has mesmerized me, he has hypnotized me, he has cast a spell over me. Even if I see it with my eyes, a ladder descending from the heavens, an angel coming down, giving the book of Allah in the hands of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then too I will not believe. The Quran also depicts this. وَلَوْ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فَظَلُّوا فِيهِ يَعْرُجُونَ لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُورُونَ. That even if you open a door to the heavens for these people, from which they can enter day in and day out, then too they will not believe. They will say, إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا, that our eyes have been mesmerized. A spell has been cast over our eyes. بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُورُونَ. In fact, we are a people upon whom a spell has been cast. He is a sorcerer. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. This was the brand that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. So this was such a hardcore, die-hard mushrik. Yet at the time of Fateh Makkah, when the liberation of Makkah al-Mukarramah took place, then Allah Ta'ala blessed even this person with Iman, Hadrat Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, radiallahu ta'ala, he entered the fold of Islam. If Allah wishes, Allah Ta'ala can guide the biggest of sinners onto deen. It is within the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very interesting incident mentioned in a book called Bahrul Dumu, which means the ocean of tears, written by Allama Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh. He mentioned the incident of a prostitute, whom we would call a call girl, very beautiful, attractive. People could not, men could not resist the temptation. She used to adorn herself, beautify herself, and sit in front of the doorway of her home. Men would pass by, could not resist. They would be tempted. They would go into the home and pay a large sum of money to this lady in order to get into bed with her. So in this way, she committed fornication and tempted many, many men. One day a pious young man walked past her house, one who had taqwa in his heart. And she dressed herself, beautified herself, adorned herself, sitting at the front door. This young man, in spite of being pious, shaitan comes in between. He became tempted. When he saw the beauty of this woman, he never saw a more beautiful woman in his whole life. In spite of having piety, even he fell into a trap, hook, line and sinker. The hadith tells us, النِّسَاءُ حَبَائِلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ حَبَائِلُ الشَّيْطَانِ, that women are the nets and the traps of the shaitan. So she trapped this pious young man as well. He could not resist her. He entered the home and was ready to accept her favors, to go into bed with her. He asked, what is her fee? She said, 1,000 dinars, 1,000 gold coins. Very, very expensive lady. Nevertheless, he took out the money, paid the sum. He jumped into bed with her. But somehow or the other, Allah Ta'ala protected him. That piety came to the fore. In his subconscious mind, he thought to himself, this is not right, what I am doing. So before he could indulge in the actual act, he got off the bed and he said, no, I will not continue. And he said to her, the money I paid you, you can keep it. It is a gift from me. I will not take anything in lieu of the payment. She was totally stunned. The first time she ever experienced an incident of this nature. That a man refusing her advances, leaving the money with her. Before he left, she asked his name and where does he live. He gave a few details. He went on his way. Allah Ta'ala protected him from this zina, from this fornication. A similar incident we read in Bukhari Sharif, known as Hadith al-Ghar, where three people were on a journey and the rain came pouring down. They took refuge in a little cave. But the rain came down so hard, it caused a huge rock at the top of the mountain to dislodge. It came crashing down right in front of the mouth of the cave. And they were trapped in the cave. A heavy rock, no way the three of them could push it out of the way. They were trapped. So eventually they consulted with one another. They let us turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance. Let us use one of our good deeds as mediation, as an intermediary to plead with Allah ta'ala. That on the basis of that good deed, Allah Ta'ala should allow this rock to move. So each person put forward his good deed. The one person said, I employed a laborer to work for me. When he completed the work, I presented the fee to him, the payment to him. But he found that to be too little. He was upset without accepting the money. He left, he went on his way. So this man turns to Allah Ta'ala, when I kept his money aside, when I decided to use that money to plant something on a farming land, I grew some crops, crops were sold, I got a lot of money. With that I bought some cattle, some livestock. And after some years this man, the laborer, returned. Then I said to him, you left without taking your payment. Here is your payment, all these cattle, all this livestock that you see. So he said, you are joking with me. He said, no, I'm not joking with you. I'm serious. All this belongs to you. The payment that was agreed upon, this is what has been harvested in lieu of that payment. So then he accepted all that cattle, livestock. He went on his way. The man pleased with Allah, if I did this, oh Allah, sincerely for your sake, let this rock move away. It moved slightly away, not totally. There wasn't a big enough opening for them to exit. The second man put forward his good deed. He says that I had my aged parents to look after. My wife and children were also in the same home. I used to go out in the early part of the morning, throughout the day. I would graze my sheep, my goats. At the end of the day, I would milk one of the goats and bring some milk home. Before I fed the milk to my children, I would give preference to my parents. Feed them first. When they drank the milk, I would feel satisfied. Then I would give to my children. So he says one day, because there was no grazing ground close by, it was eaten up by animals, I had to go a greater distance. So I returned home quite late at night. My parents were fast asleep. The children were also waiting for the milk. They were weeping, crying, as children tend to do. He said to his wife, somehow make them understand, put them to sleep. And then he stood at the bedside of his parents. Because his habit, routine was first to feed his parents. Parents were fast asleep. He stood at the bedside. He did not disturb them, wake them up. He pleased with Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, I stood the entire night waiting for my parents to wake up. When they woke up in the morning, I gave the milk to them. Oh Allah, you know, if I did this for your pleasure, move the rock. The rock moved a bit more. Then the third person, now related to our story that we are still busy with, the third person says, I had a female cousin, beautiful, very attractive. I was tempted to go into bed with her. I offered her some of money, and she also initially became ready. We went, retired into a room, but before we could indulge in the act, she said to me, ittaqillah, wa la taftahil khatam, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not open the seal. She was a virgin. So when she said, ittaqillah, that struck him like a bolt from the blue. Immediately, the taqwa of Allah Ta'ala, fear of Allah came to the fore. And he says to Allah Ta'ala, I abstain from this dirty act for your pleasure. So Allah, if I did this sincerely for you, move the rock. Now the rock moved further. Eventually all three were able to emerge from that cave. So here to this young man, we return to our story. He went on his way to his hometown. But this touched a chord with this lady. She thought to herself that are there so pious men existing in the world that coming close to the act, yet he did not indulge in the act, and he left the fee also with me as a gift. So she was very impressed, taken aback with this. Allah Ta'ala guided her. She made tawbah. She thought to herself, let me go out in search of this young man, and now I will get married to him. And then I will have a halal relationship with him, not a haram relationship. She went out in search, reached that town, knew the name, asked particulars. She knocked at the door. That young man opened the door. He was shocked to the core when he saw the same lady of loose morals, the prostitute, standing in front. He became afraid. Fear gripped him. He thought that the guna that I fled from has come to my door. Am I going to commit this sin? Such fear gripped him that Allah willed, he collapsed and died on the spot. Allah saved him from the sin. But this lady was still very much impressed with the piety of this young man. She made inquiries. She was told, all the brothers of this young man are also very, very pious. So she thought to herself, she could not marry this young man. Then eventually she got married to the brother of this young man. And getting married to the brother, she gave birth to 7 such children that became walis of Allah. So this is what I was saying. When Allah Ta'ala wishes to give hidayat, He gives hidayat in full measure. When she repented from her sin, and she gave birth to 7 boys who became awliya of the time. Allah Ta'ala gives hidayat to whomsoever He wishes. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, who was a king initially, he kicked all the wealth away, lived the life of a pauper, guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, when he was walking along the coastal belt on the shore, a ship happened to sail close by, and there were mischievous people on board the ship. They wanted to have some fun. Their idea of fun in those days was to get hold of a simpleton. If they see a simple man, take him, make a pop out of him, trouble him, harass him. So they saw Ibrahim bin Adham in torn and tattered clothing. They grabbed hold of him, brought him onto the ship. They put him in the middle, surrounded him, and each person took turns to slap him on the face, on the head. One man, next man, several of them, sitting around him, slapping him, making fun out of him. Allah Ta'ala's anger came to the fore from the unseen. He heard the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is in accordance with the hadith al-Qudsi, in which Allah Ta'ala says, Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantuhu bil harb. The person who shows enmity for my wali, I declare war on that person. So he heard a voice from the unseen that, O Ibrahim, you give the green light. I will cause this entire ship to sink, destroy all the people on board. But Ibrahim bin Adham, a man of taqwa, he turned to Allah, O Allah, just as you have the power to sink the ship, destroy all the people on board, you also have the power to guide them. O Allah, you guide them to your deen. This dua got accepted. Every single one of those people became waliyas of Allah. This is hidayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very interesting incident. A young man, very, very attractive. Many women were overtaken with his handsomeness. But he was a man of loose morals. He slept with many, many women, indulging in zina. And he had a diary. In that diary is to make note of the so-called conquests. That I slept with a certain woman, put their names down, the date, how long he spent with her. In this way he filled the entire diary. His mother used to plead with him. They turned to Allah Ta'ala, have fear. What answer are you going to give to Allah Ta'ala on the day of resurrection? But he was totally unperturbed about it, continued on his way. That journal, that diary was completely full of names of his conquests. One day when Allah Ta'ala wished to guide him, a woman actually approached him. He didn't have to go to the woman. The woman was in distress. She was in financial difficulty. She had orphan children to look after. She asked him for financial assistance. So he saw that this is a golden opportunity. He said to the lady, I will give you some wealth, some money, provided that you in exchange give me your favors. I get into bed with you. She was so helpless, she agreed. But when they retired into a room, she pleaded with him. They listen, oh my Muslim brother, I am not a woman of loose morals. I was helpless in order to feed my orphan children. I asked you for financial help. take pity on me. Do not take my honor. So there also God struck in his heart and he resisted the temptation. He went away and he gave her a sum of money to assist her and her orphans. When he went home, he explained the incident to his mother. His mother was overjoyed that today you have accomplished something. Just as you are putting down your conquests in a diary, all your conquests, write this down as well. That today you took pity on a woman, you resisted the temptation. So he looked in the diary, there was hardly space left to write this down. Eventually in one corner of one page, a little blank space was left. His mother said to him, write it down there. He wrote it there. Now Allah Ta'ala wanted to guide him. He went to bed that night, lying in bed. He made sincere tawbah to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for all his past. And he thanked Allah Ta'ala for this day when Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq and the ability to assist a woman in distress without taking advantage of her. When he got up in the morning, his mother quickly called him and showed him the diary. When he opened the diary, all the pages that were filled with conquests, all the writing had disappeared. The only note that was left was the one of the previous day where he resisted the temptation out of fear of Allah Ta'ala. That incident was noted, and next to it, miraculously, the verse of the Quran was written, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. When you do good, Allah Ta'ala uses that to obliterate your evil actions. Allah Ta'ala forgave him. A woman comes from Balkh all the way. It is a war-torn country. She flees from there. Her husband is killed in the war. And she comes to Samarkand, which today geographically is in Uzbekistan, where Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is buried also. She comes to Samarkand looking for assistance, no shelter, no food. She sees a Muslim gentleman on the road. From the apparel she could make out, he's a Muslim. And the beauty part was, she was a Sayyid, linked to the family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she used this when she pleaded with him. That listen, I'm not begging, it is not my habit to beg, but I have orphan children, 2 or 3 daughters to look after. I'm helpless, I've come all the way from Balkh. You are a Muslim. You will show pity on me. Give me some shelter. Give me some food. And I'm a Sayyid, she said. I'm linked to the family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm from the progeny of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this wretched man, in spite of being a Muslim, he says to her, where is your sanad? Where is your proof, your certificate that links you to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Obviously a woman that fled from a war-torn country, where will she have a certificate, a sanad? She had nothing to show. So he said, if that's the case, then go away. I cannot help you. She looked in another direction. A Zoroastrian, fire worshipper, standing there. Helpless, she went up to him. We learn a story from here, that today also, the akhlaq that Muslims ought to adopt, non-Muslims are adopting. We have left the akhlaq shown to us by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Non-Muslims have taken upon that akhlaq. We deceive our customers in our businesses. We cheat them, we rob them to earn a few coppers. But look at the non-Muslims. You buy an item, you're not happy with it, return it. No questions asked. You are refunded. Muslims have a notice in their shops. No returns, no credit. No refunds. Where's the akhlaq that we ought to have within us? So here too, the Zoroastrian, a fire worshipper, mushrik, he took pity on her. He said to his wife, give shelter to this woman and her daughters. Give them food and drink. So they allocated a separate room for the mother and the 3 daughters. Ate a hearty meal, slept comfortably for the night. That Muslim that refused to assist her, that night he saw a dream. In the dream, He sees as if he is in Jannat. And he sees Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Behind Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a beautiful palace. So he asked permission from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enter the beautiful palace. Can I utilize this palace? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no. This palace only a Muslim is entitled to. So he says happily, I am a Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, where's your sanad? Where's your proof? Where's your certificate to prove that you are a Muslim? Immediately he wakes up and realizes that this is a knock on the door from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, in the dream, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, when my daughter came to you and said she is linked to my family or my progeny, you ask for a sanad, a certificate. Now you produce your sanad, certificate to prove you are a Muslim. In the dream, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even indicated to him that you will not get this palace, that Zoroastrian, he will get this palace. So he got up very troubled. How could a mushrik get a palace in Jannah? He knocked at the door of that mushrik, that fire worshipper, and said to him, give over that woman and children to me, I wish to give them shelter. So he said, no, it is too late. This woman and her children brought such barakat into my home, that I, my wife and my children, we have all entered the fold of Islam. We have recited the Shahada. And then he gave him news. I know why you came to my door. You have seen perhaps the same dream that I saw. He also saw the same dream. In his dream, when he stole this palace belongs to a Muslim, and the fire worshipper says, I am a Muslim, Nabi Sallam asks, no certificate, no sanad, gives him access to that palace, you may enter the palace. So this is our state of affairs. The work that Muslims ought to do, we have abandoned. Non-Muslim taken over the akhlaq that we ought to possess. So nevertheless, this attribute of hidayat, that also is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these incidents show that hidayat lies in the hands of Allah ta'ala. We are blessed. We are born into Muslim homes. Yet we are being led astray by the fitnas out there. The hadith which I recited, hasten with good amal actions before such fitnas confront you, like the portions, dark portions of the night. As the night progresses, it gets darker and darker. So the fitnas will become more and more grave and more serious. Where a person will get up as a Muslim, go to sleep as a kafir. Go to bed as a Muslim, wake up as a kafir. We are living in that age. So we have to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. It is the month of Ramadan. Acceptance of duas. That Allah Ta'ala keep us with iman. Give us istiqamat. Strengthen our iman. With good amal in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Ta'ala should take us with iman. And resurrect us with iman in the company of His pious servant inshallah. This is the opportunity to make that dua. Tonight is a bonus night. It is not only an odd night, it is also the night of Jummah. So let us not let this opportunity slip through our fingers. Make dua. Seek repentance for our sins. Ask Allah to grant us istiqamat. Let us adopt those akhlaq, those characteristics, those character traits that a Muslim ought to adopt. Then inshallah our duas will be accepted. We'll become better Muslims. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.